How many books have you written?
This is actually the third in the series of Clarivine novels, but each of them is designed to be a standalone, and this one is the first to come out in Canada. It's set in 1938, and the previous two were set in 1933 and 1937. But as I say, I want a reader to be able to come to each one as a fresh novel. So ultimately, I'm currently working on the fifth in the series, set in 1940. That might be the last for the time being. I'm not sure.
I didn't realize it was a series until I got to the end, and I was like, oh, that's over. And then I turned a couple of pages, and there was the first chapter of the next book.
I love that she's still in Berlin each time she considers leaving, because Clara is an actress. She's an Anglo-German actress in pre-war Berlin, and obviously being half English as she is, it becomes more and more difficult as the years lead up to war for her to stay in Germany and to not to be intensely harassed. And so in each novel, she's faced the decision of should she go back to England or should she stay in Berlin, where she's made her home and where she has valuable work to do. Her work being intelligence work for the British security services. So each time at the end of the novel, she makes that decision that she's going to stay, though as time passes, it becomes more and more perilous for her.
She has a love interest in this book. Is love interest the right word for Max? He's attractive, but she's also repelled because he's a really high-ranking German officer.
He is, and she can't... she tells herself she does find him attractive, and she recognises that there's a kind of physical and a kind of intellectual attraction between them, but she tells herself she can't be attracted to him because outwardly he is a senior Nazi and that he stands for everything she detests. So it's a kind of awkward relationship, but as the novel progresses, you discover that there might be more to the relationship than meets the eye, and that her instincts about Max are probably correct.
And she's given a kind of a strange assignment by British intelligence, and that she's supposed to get friendly with somebody.
The novel starts in Paris, and she's having a few days. She's as an actress on a film, she's having a few days in Paris, filming Bel Ami, which was genuinely being filmed in Paris in 1938. And she is relishing the fact that she's escaped from Berlin for a few days because it's such an oppressive place to live. And she's approached. She's approached by somebody who turns out to be from British intelligence, who says, "We have something that we'd like you to do. We want you to try and get close to Hitler's secret girlfriend, Eva Braun." Most people in Germany had no idea that Hitler had a girlfriend at all. She was kept very, very secret. And Clara says, of course, how on earth can I do this? I mean, this is an impossible mission. But Eva Braun was a film fanatic. She was obsessed with movies. She watched two a night. And she was a fan of some of the novels, some of the films that Clara has starred in before. And British intelligence say, look, go to Munich. There's a film being made there. You're going to be cast in it. And we will engineer an introduction with Eva Braun. And that is what Clara does. And what she discovers through this encounter with Eva Braun is something of great value.
It's right, the title, Scent of Secrets. Perfume plays a pretty important role in the book.
Perfume is, I mean, this is just another one of the astonishing ironies and hypocrisies of the Third Reich, that Hitler himself very much disapproved of perfume because he saw it as yet another cosmetic enhancement that didn't belong on the German woman. But Eva Braun, his girlfriend, was obsessed with perfume. She loved perfume, particularly French perfume. And in the early days of their courtship, she would go to perfume shops in Munich, and he would wait outside in the car while she was kind of trying different scents. And she continued to make her own perfumes. And Hitler would bring chemists to the Berghof who would kind of like tell her about ingredients, and she made her own perfumes. And in the novel, I wanted perfume to be part of the novel because I had this idea right at the beginning of the power of scent, the way that it can evoke, probably the same as Proust, you know, the Proustian recollection, the way that perfume a sensory experience can evoke memories that you don't completely understand, you can't place. And I had this image of a scene in which a woman, a frightened young woman, smells a perfume and she can't remember why she finds that perfume threatening, but it bugs her so much that she has to find out. That's the first scene in the book.
I'm so glad there's a sequel and that there are going to be more, because I want to find out what Clara's going to get up to next, because she's, you just know what's coming. You know, Poland is about to get invaded, and it's like, this is not going to be good.
That's one of the joys of writing historical fiction, that you do know what's coming. So you put, but the difficulty is to put characters in scenes where they don't know what's coming. So, and to create the feeling, for example, at the end of the Scent of Secrets, there's, I feature the real coup attempt that happened in 1938 when a very serious attempt to depose Hitler, and soldiers were mustered all around the Reich Chancery ready to seize Hitler and enter the Reich Chancery, and it failed at the very last moment. And it's one of those great what-ifs of history. But I wanted to be able to put Clara in that situation, not knowing if it's going to succeed, when the reader knows it didn't succeed. But I want the reader also to feel it might succeed.
Wow, well done. The book is The Scent of Secrets, novel. I've been speaking with the author, Jane Thin, and The Scent of Secrets, published by Doubleday Canada.